Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Man, what a gut-wrenching loss that was to the Atlanta Hawks for the Philadelphia 76ers. Welcome to the PHLY Sixers post-game show alongside my partners, as always, Derek Bodner, Kyle Newbeck. I'm Devon Givens, Bree producing you with us on this tough night. Tough night for the boys as they lose their third straight. We have a lot to get into with this loss, the first game of the week for the home team. Guys, fellas, tough one as we broke it down as the game was going on, biting the fingernails, eating donuts and candy, drinking water, throwing stuff in the air. It was a tough one, though.
I think the biggest takeaway for me tonight is I might be on DeJounte Murray Island now. So it was just, you know, a wild game, honestly. I never felt like I had a good grip on, you know, what was happening next unless you were asking me, what's Kelly Oubre going to do next? And the answer was suck because he was as bad as he has been all season. Other than that, you know, it's 1 minute Tobias Harris is the worst defensive player I've ever seen. The next he's making three straight buckets in the mid post. Like, it's just super chaotic. It definitely felt like what I picture as a Hawks game, which is just anarchy, basically.
We also learned that the Sixers, without Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, probably wouldn't win very many games.
No
Sixers
way.
Were up 132 to 129 with a minute 44 left. Did not score then over the last, like I said, nearly 2 minutes to play. To your point, it was up and down the entire time. I didn't know, outside of Tyrese and Tobias, who you could really rely on. Obviously, you had that stretch for Marcus Morris there in the second, or he scored 9 in the second quarter. Outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot of contributions that you could, like I said, you could make a case that Mo Bamba was maybe your third or fourth best player in this game, considering what he
certainly
did down the stretch.
Certainly in overtime. He actually played pretty well.
And when that happens, you're probably not getting the greatest contributions up and down the roster. That being said, a lot of people had their moments for sure. Like, DeAnthony had moments where he was good. A little curious why he wasn't in there more. I guess probably minutes restrictions you would assume.
Yeah.
If he could have played, given you a full tilt, probably would have made a significant difference. Tobias Harris was great offensively, terrible defensively. Like you mentioned, probably the worst game that we've seen from Kelly Oubre. Just infuriating. All the bad things we talked about with Kelly over the offseason, today was an example of those concerns. But you had Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris, at least on offense, and for a long time, it looked like that might have been enough to carry you through the finish line.
And even when Maxey fouling out, as you talk about that 144, Sixers up, he fouls out, and that's where the question is then, who's going to close this out? As good as Tobias Harris was offensively, I think even with him having it going tonight, we still sit there and say, okay, does he have enough in him to bring them home? And once we saw how things were going, you knew the defense was going to start to really funnel to him to make him do something. He had a wide open 3-point opportunity tonight at the top of the key on catching it down three to at least attempt it to try to tie the game up, but he hesitated, didn't shoot it, drove to the basket, got the shot blocked. For all of that, again, you should have just forced up the 3-pointer. So Maxey fouling out was really big, as we all know, the Melton minute restrictions, because we were wondering once he fouled out, who's going to come in and take these minutes to possibly help Harris to close this one out. Beverly was the one that came in. That's asking a lot for Patrick Beverly to come in and be an offensive punch, or at least to run the offense the right way to get it to who? To get those points on the board to finish this one out. So a tough one, a heartbreaker, because as it looked in the fourth quarter with the Atlanta Hawks taking the lead, it looked like they were just going to punch the Sixers in the gut and say, that's enough. We've had enough. We figured it out. Trae Young shooting 3-for-12 at one point. Sixers still in the game. But they took the lead, and it was like, okay, this is probably it. Probably not going to get much more out of this one. But they fought back, take the lead at the end of the fourth quarter. But as my teammates here said, just some bad Kelly Oubre things from quarter one to quarter four, and then we'll get to overtime, to cause them to lose that game, where Johnson gets a driving baseline opportunity off a great pass. He gets a dunk. Either you foul him hard, or you let
you
the don't 2 points
allow
go.
Him to take
you don't,
the shot.
You don't just like tap him on the top
exactly,
of
exactly, where he's already just going to flush it anyway. And he was having a good game. Jalen Johnson was. So,
I thought you were going to say Kelly. I was going to be like, whoa, Jalen Johnson, this is the first time. I just think
you're
crazy.
So you don't send him to the free throw line to, you know, feel good. Free throw line, knock the free throw down, and there's that. But just so many things up and down the roller coaster that this game was. Some good, some bad, some infuriating, and we're going to break it all down here on this post-game show.
I want to point out a couple comments to spotlight already. So our guy Furious said...
He was furious.
We haven't won since the bomb been back, LOL. So, you know, you took your little nice little vacation again last week. You come back and 0-3 since. I'm not saying that you're personally responsible for what has happened since, but...
Fair point.
You fucked the vibes up, DeVon. What's wrong with you?
And I did. No,
we're just messing around. The other thing that, before I really lay into Oubre, Kane points out, why did he put Morris in at center at the end of the game? The offensive rebounds killed them. This is one of the first games that I can think of off the top of my head that I was scratching my head a little bit at some of the Nurse decisions. I thought, end of the third quarter, I know they didn't have good options with a lot of guys coming back from injury, as we talked about, Melton on the minutes restriction, all that. But they go all bench, end of the third. They gave up some of the lead that, you know, started the third quarter into the middle of the third quarter. I thought they played pretty well. You know, Paul Reed had bounced back from a moment in the first half that we'll get to at some point, I'm sure.
He had a couple moments, yeah.
He had a few moments in this game. But they were all, you know, kind of moving along with the starters in there. And then to go all bench felt like it took the momentum away from them. Atlanta seizes it back. The rest of the way, it was basically back and forth, seesaw type of game. And those are the type of stretches, the type of moments that end up losing you games when you don't have your star player, right? Like, the coach has to be just like the players. Like, if we're going to sit here and say, you know, Tyrese has got to be at another level with Joel out. Tobias has got to be at another level with Joel out. Well, Nick Nurse has got to be at his sharpest too. And I thought, you know, as Kane pointed out, the Morris decision in overtime, the all bench stuff, I thought there were some small decisions he made in that game that ended up having a negative impact, I think certainly contributed to the loss.
The all bench stuff is, I agree with. The Morris point, which is Kane is talking about, if you remember, Mo Bamba was there at the center to jump ball in overtime. And that was strictly a four height thing to try to win the jump ball, because Paul Reed, we figured, wasn't going to play the rest of the way. And Morris Kane was the one who had those minutes in the closing part of the game in the fourth quarter after Reed wasn't playing well down that particular stretch. So he was playing well. He was doing some good things there. And that's why I think. And so I just circle it back to the jump ball. As soon as the jump ball happened, Marcus Morris was at the scores table. And then Nurse pulled Marcus Morris back because of the block shot that Mo Bamba had and the offensive rebound leading to the Tyrese Maxey three in overtime. So I think he saw it where he got enough out of Mo Bamba for what it was, and the game was close and Morris played well in the fifth. So I give him the credit for that. But for your point, it didn't make up really for what happened during that stretch of that all bench lineup that he went with. And quite honestly, I thought that Mo Bamba, even after that really good play, Derek, he looked tired in that overtime for that stretch right there.
Yeah. Of course.
I do want to point out, we have Chill Guy in the chat saying, are we seriously blaming Oubre? He's on a vet min. He shouldn't be out there.
Yeah.
If you're asking him to do more than he's capable of, then no, you can't blame him. If you're just holding someone accountable for the decisions that they make, then yes, you can hold him accountable for those decisions. And look, none of us are out here saying like they shouldn't have signed him, yada, yada, yada. We're just pointing out he had a really bad game. And it was like that right from the jump. You know, he lost Bogdanovich in transition. He had a couple of just really horrible, like contested threes with 16 or 17 seconds left on the shot clock. He had that really bad outlet to Tobias. Obviously that drive there with 15 seconds or whatever left for the and one. These are decisions that you can't make if you are going to try to win a game. Like that was a game where you're trying to win without Joel Embiid on the road. You need better from Kelly. So no, I don't think any of us are out here asking him to be someone he's not. Like we're not asking him to lead an offense and dish out 10 assists and give you 30 on efficient scoring. He just made too many really bad plays, really bad decisions, and it cost him. Like that game should not have gone to overtime.
And when you're losing 35 points in the game, all right, you get the 35 from Maxey tonight and you get the bonus of another 22, from Tobias Harris.
32 from Tobias.
Well, I just meant the extra for him.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. 32 overall. But then you're asking someone else to pick it up. And knowing that De'Anthony Melton was already on a minute restriction, Marcus Morris emptying his clip in the first half to help keep you in it.
Yeah.
What you're asking from Kelly Oubre is to be the scorer that we think that he is with that punch coming off the bench. And that's better than chill the 3-4-12 that he was tonight. Then it was the bad shot attempts with the shot clock. So much time left. The effort just wasn't there. You could see it with him, chill, watching the game, that the effort just simply was not there the way that we saw Kelly Oubre in the last game where he had 25-plus because he was in a good groove. He was scoring, and you know how it goes. Oftentimes when you're playing well, you bust it for everything. And this one, it just didn't look like the effort was there. The decision-making overall wasn't really there. And that's why we're pointing out that he did not play a good game. Was he the sole reason why they lost the game? No. But he contributed and needed to pick up in other spots to help get the victory there tonight, which was gettable, especially at the end of the fourth and going into overtime.
And again, none of that doesn't change like what he's done up to this point. That doesn't even change what we expect him to do going forward. But we sit here and we talk about every game, and you can't analyze this game and talk about this game without pointing out that he made a couple of really bad decisions that hurt them at the end.
Yeah. And to both of your guys' point, like if you go down the whole rotation tonight, you can pick out some good things that basically everyone else did, right? Like Tobias Harris, 32-point game, enough said. Tyrese Maxey, 9 assists, 35 points, all that. Mo Bamba comes in, gives you good minutes in overtime. Marcus Morris has a good run in the first half, hits some threes. Nick Batum has 3 blocks, couple of assists, hits a 3, gave you something. De'Anthony Melton, first came back, gave you a little bit of ball handling, some playmaking, a little bit of shooting. That's all well and good. Patrick Beverley hits a couple runners. He had a dream shake in the lane that you and I were cracking up about them on. So Jaden Springer has an awesome defensive stretch at one point in that game.
Yep.
That's literally almost every guy who played contributed something positive that you can say off the top of your head, that guy did something to help them win tonight. I couldn't sit here and tell you one thing that Kelly did for more than like a play at a time that helped them. And went the other way. He was an active deterrent to them winning. As Derek points out, yes, that doesn't wipe away the rest of the season. But if you're sitting here asking me who's one of the biggest reasons they lost tonight, it's Kelly. Like that's just the reality of what happened. Same reason I brought up the Nick Nurse stuff. And I agree with Kane when he brought it up. Like Nick needed to be better. Kelly needed to be better. And those guys played a huge role in it's only one loss. It's only one game, but they played a big role in it.
And Chill jumps back in and say, I'm just saying we should be equally as mad at Tobias as Kelly. No, there are spots and moments that we were mad at Tobias Harris during the game, but it's not equal to what we saw from or didn't see from Kelly. And look,
one guy gave you 39. The other guy shot 3 for 11.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He picked up your scoring that you didn't give tonight because you weren't scoring at your pace. You talk about the two. I can point out two things that Kelly Oubre did good tonight. One was off of a pass from Tyrese Maxey, cutting baseline for the alley-oop.
Mm-hmm.
He set him up perfectly. Great finish. Okay, cool. The other was he hit that short jumper that Tobias hit him in overtime there where I'm like, I didn't think he was going to make it, but it was a good, Kyle said it right away. finally did something good. He made a good shot right there to give them a bucket where it wasn't a wasted possession. After that, chill. I mean, we're just being honest. Can't point out anything else that was good from him tonight. And that doesn't discredit anything that he has done positively all season long. We're talking about this moment, this loss, in a winnable game against that team, especially where you had their best player struggling tonight, where you fought back, got positive help from others. He needed to be a little bit better tonight than he was, and he just did not show. Now, he might come out against Sacramento and give you 17 and help lead them to a win. And we will say, you know what? Good bounce back game, Kelly.
Of course.
But for tonight, he was bad. And that was a big part of why they lost. They lost by 7 points tonight, and it was closer than that. Had he done a little bit better, they probably win that game. And take away that foul with the 1 point, that's probably the difference.
Yeah, right, I mean, there. Butterfly effect, and we don't know how the rest of the quarter or the minute left in the game plays out if they don't get that free throw. But that was a point that's the difference between a regulation win and an overtime loss.
And they got a gift because Trae Young got fouled and missed one.
Yes.
Trae Young does not miss free throws. He missed two, one in at the end of regulation and one in overtime, which give them that opportunity. But you have to take advantage of those situations, and they did not in that spot.
There are people in the chat. Chris Tyrone, who says Kelly had nothing to do with that loss.
Come on.
He played 31 minutes.
How
can you not be involved playing over 30 minutes in a game? Like, even if you're just saying it's not as bad as we're making it out, which, you know, reasonable people can disagree. You can't play 31 minutes and just have zero neutral impact on the basketball game.
If he had nothing to do with the loss in 31 minutes, you need to type a little bit more and tell us who was the reason why they lost this game tonight. Because that don't make me go off like Stephen A. Don't make me.
There's no Jason Whitlock in the chat, so I don't know.
Come on, Ty. Be better. Come on. Yeah. Come on, man. Nah.
I mean, yeah. I don't want to get too distracted by the chat because we have a game to analyze. But he was definitely a part of the loss. He definitely had a bad game. It was definitely one of those games where it was like, all right, this was reminiscent of early career Kelly Oubre. And to his credit, it hasn't happened all that often. Like, I think he's maybe veered off a little bit here of late, but I think for the most part, he has played the best version that you could have hoped for. It's just he wasn't good tonight, and we have to acknowledge it.
He'll be back. He'll be back Friday. Let's see what he does.
They have some big games coming up, one against the Kings. Yeah. They got the Nuggets coming out. Maybe you want to go see those games. You're going to need to come up with some money. One of those ways to come up with some money is to cancel unwanted subscriptions that you haven't been using. We all want to make sure that you get the most out of your money, that you're not wasting money on unnecessary subscriptions. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place, and if you see something you don't want, you can cancel it with a tap, and you never have to get on the phone with customer service. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/PHLY. That's rocketmoney.com/PHLY. rocketmoney.com/PHLY.
And as you save all of that money and you're getting ready for the game that will be upcoming here in Philadelphia on Friday, got to tell you about our good friends from Game Time. You want to get a good seat, good spot there in the arena on Friday night, see them bounce back. Maybe the big fella comes back and you want to see him too. Well, all you have to do is go check out our friends at Game Time. Game Time, of course, buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy those tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. I know a guy that's going to be in town here shortly in a couple of weeks, I think, that's been on fire on the internet. He's funny. He had a lot of people reacting to his stuff. Maybe you want to go see him. Well, killer deals here with Game Time on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for all the fun that you'll have. Flash deals and last minute tickets. Again, easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. Images of the seat views, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. So if you want to get in there quickly on Friday after you decide, hey, start the weekend off right, let's go see a basketball game, you can do that with Game Time. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, baseball, basketball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will, in fact, credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress because you have Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off of your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
So where do you guys want to go next with this? I have a semi-controversial take that I actually thought Tobias didn't play well if you factor in defense, because that is maybe the worst defensive game I've seen him play, and he certainly has had some bad ones during his career. I get that it was first game back from injury. I get that without Joel Embiid back there, obviously, changes the complexion of defense a lot, but I thought alongside Kelly there was just a ton of miscommunications, missed rotations, guys beating him on back cuts where he's just not attentive enough, got beat in isolation by multiple types of players. Like, there were times when he's guarding Okongwu, he got bodied by him. Obviously, it's tough to guard Trae Young for anybody, but Trae Young went right by him, DeJounte Murray went right by him. I can't sit here and tell you like a single good or impactful thing he did on that end of the floor. And then when it was like, look, not his fault, Tyrese Maxey fouled out and he had to try to carry the team in overtime when he's not a guard, he's not a guy who should be running the offense by himself. But then when it's his time, they're like, all right, Tobias, you're having a great offensive game and the ball's in your hands, just like clogged toilet offense in overtime, can't really get a quality shot. And you said it, Devon, while we were watching the game, probably should have just taken the three that he had early in the clock on that possession where he drives into the paint and gets the, I think it was Okongwu who blocked him, and looked like one of hundreds of Tobias drives we've seen in the past where he doesn't actually go up to try to finish. It's like a, well, I hope something good happens, and like pushes it up and just gets the shot packed by a taller, more athletic player. So I don't want to be too harsh on him, but it's a deceivingly bad game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's the type of player, like when he gets Jalen Johnson one-on-one in early offense, he has a chance. So he had one real nice drive where Atlanta hadn't gotten their rim protection back yet. There was a wide open lane. He took him off the bounce. It worked. But when there's traffic there, when there's no Embiid and Maxey, like, you're overtaxing Tobias to try to ask him to create that in the half court against a set defense when they have a chance to load up. That's just not who he is. His defense is help defense, his team defense, his off-ball defense is usually poor, and tonight was especially poor. But quite frankly, outside of Mo Bamba in overtime and that run from Jaden Springer, I thought pretty much everyone was a disaster defensively.
That's probably true.
Like, Paul Reed came out, and he had no idea how to defend a pick and roll. He was caught in no man's land play after play after play. They somehow went to his zone, and on the very first possession in his zone, he gave Okongwu a wide open roll to the rim when he was
exactly
in a zone. He's supposed to be
about
in the middle of the floor. Somehow he's out on the wing, and it was the easiest points he got all night. He was real bad to start. He had some nice finishes around the rim, made up for some of that with his offense, although he had some moments offensively too. But he was bad defensively. Everyone just really struggled. And even Springer, who was probably your best defender, had Trae Young in jail for a little bit there. Even Bogdanović would shoot over him occasionally because Springer's just a little bit too short. Nobody really had any real effectiveness on that.
And to your point about the Springer Bogdanović minutes, there was one shot where he shot over him, three-pointer, and Springer had played good defense, and Kyle blurted it out right there. There was nothing you can do with that one because of the height and the shot making that was there for Bogdanović. And as far as Tobias goes, first of all, I saw That's a really funny one. Flex Hoop says Tobias might be the most blockable slash dunk-onable player in the league.
He's not unathletic no, either. That's the weirdest part. Yeah. It's like that shouldn't happen, but it happens all the time.
But I agree because, look, the 32 points are the 32 points, but when you're lacking, again, extra stuff from other people, you do have to pick up in a lot of different ways. There are two ends of the floor, and the one especially against DeJounte Murray there in overtime would set up that Jalen Johnson three-pointer to give them that three-point lead to break that tie to force Nurse to call that timeout. That was just like, yo, man, were you going to move your feet at all? Because he literally, I thought he was honestly going to try to just lay it up and reverse it the other way and finish it. But he made another really good basketball play to kick it to his open teammate on the wing, and he knocked down a three-pointer. Tobias not let him go by, but his defense was not good. The defensive position wasn't good. He didn't wall him off the right way to force him while he's forced in the middle, force him into some traffic. Therefore, Patrick Beverly then has to leave his man on the weak side, get to the middle to cut that off. Again, still thought he could have tried to make it, but it may have been a charge because Patrick Beverly is good. But he did the right thing, kicked it out. And that was because Tobias Harris didn't do enough resistance-wise to prevent him from getting to the middle of the floor to be a shot maker or a shot creator, which he did. So he needed to be a little bit, a lot better defensively on the other end. It's not all him. Sorry, Will, it's not all him. But it was him in this one. So we put them there together because the defense by him just wasn't good enough. So as Kyle points out, the 32, and that was really good because he did some things offensively that I was like, oh, okay, all right, okay, cool.
Sustain the offense for long periods of time.
But then he disappoints in the overtime where, to Kyle's point of that three-pointer, getting it blocked by Okongwu, at least if he shoots that three and he front rims it, you're probably giving your teammates an opportunity again for an offensive rebound chance to try to get a loose ball, get another opportunity to get a basket there in overtime. And it didn't happen. He just ran right into the traffic, as Derek talked about, and it got snuffed. It wasn't even close. Don't even know what the hell he was doing and thinking on that drive, because once he gave himself up from that catch and shoot three, he already made himself super guardable. And whatever it was, what was it called, on the most dunkable on player, whatever he was on the other end, for the lack of defense that he did not put on display there.
And while we're on defense, Batum really struggled.
He did.
But I don't really blame Batum. What the hell is Nick Nurse doing putting him on Trae Young out on the perimeter and asking him to try to deny him 35 feet from the basket? Batum's never been quick. And by the way, he's 35 now, so like it's not getting any better. To ask him to try to deny Trae Young 35 feet from the basket was just setting him up for a backdoor cut. I was really surprised by that decision.
Batum
really
actually surprised. The other day at practice made a joke where he's like, yeah, I don't move that well anymore, brother.
We saw.
Nick didn't see it, though.
But like Batum's whole value on defense is that he's smart and he can see plays before it happens and he good reactions. Well, when you put him out on an island all the way out there, it's like putting your slowest guy at cornerback. Like, what are you doing?
So like the Eagles.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is depressing enough.
So you brought up Paul Reed a little bit, and I think he has maybe not so slowly become a real target of scorn for a good portion of the fan base. I think what we've seen through 30 whatever games that we're at now is that, you know, Nick Nurse came in and said, I want guys to play with freedom. Like, there are a lot of people on this team are going to get to do some things and try some things that they didn't in the past. You know, from Daniel House Jr. All the way up to Joel Embiid to Tobias Harris. Guys in training camp are throwing Doc under the bus saying, you know, look, the offense, we're just all so much more involved. Like, we're so happy and all that. I think it's safe to say that Paul Reed is a guy who does not need as much freedom as he has. That play where he went coast to coast was like, and Nick did do it, but that was the most obvious put his fucking ass on the bench immediately play of the entire season.
I will say it was also followed up. He got the ball at the top of the key with like 5.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And he's sitting there like lining up his three.
I'm laughing as he's getting ready to start saying things because that's the first one that came to mind.
He's lining up a three for like 5 seconds thinking about it. You can see the calculus going on in his head like, oh, I might sit down if I actually take this. But he spent a good couple seconds debating it.
No, Devon and I were sitting there like, oh, he better not take that shot.
But hey, man, for comedy purposes, it's like, oh.
And I will say, we were, I think Kyle and I were both, Devon wasn't because he was still on his vacation, but Kyle and I were both on the like, hey, maybe this isn't the guy to give all that much freedom to. Like, maybe you don't want him shooting all that many threes. Maybe you don't want him trying to ISO. And I think we've been right on that one.
Hey, man, that. Let's go back to the play where he got the rebound and decided to, Maxie, I got this.
Did he even hit the rim on that shot attempt? I'm pretty sure he came off backboard and did not hit the.
Yeah.
So if somebody has the replay available to them, I would say.
Hey, Chris says it right here. He waved off Max. Maxie was right here. He was as close as Kyle is to me, folks. And he just looked at him like, I got this. Let's go. I'm pushing the brake. It's Ben Simmons time right here, pushing the brake in an open floor. And then everybody else is expecting him to just give it up, and he kept going, and he kept going, and then as Kyle's, did he hit the rim? I don't know. He waved, as Chris said, he waved off Tyrese, and I looked to the bench immediately because I saw Nick Nurse look to his left,
just like,
okay, you come in, and then who's getting off the bench? Marcus Morris is getting off the bench, and we didn't see Paul Ballery. I, to his credit, he started the third quarter and he played well, but man, and then you saw as there was a dead ball, Tyrese Maxey, I don't know if people saw it in the background. Tyrese looked at him, you know, same draft class, they're tight, him, Isaiah Joe, all that. Yo, what were you doing? And he was very animated as he's telling him. And when he sat down, someone else looked at him and talked to him, and he was like, yeah, you're right, I know. But it was too late, man. He gave us a moment, though. Hey, can we get a Paul Reed moment of the night? Forget Marcus Morris. That was the Paul Reed moment of the night.
I mean, in all honesty, that might be a much better, because like the Marcus Morris moment of the night was more just making fun of me. The Paul Reed moment of the night, I feel like, is something that can be sustained for as long as he's here.
But that three-pointer, though, that one. Can we, what about the other one? Where he was opening the corner. Remember the one in the corner late in the game? And we were like, oh, he's about to do this one too, because he was wide open. And he passed it up, and he reset to allow them. But okay, that's enough.
Again, I almost don't like saying this, but like Nick Nurse has to get him back to the Doc Rivers school. Just set a screen, roll the rim. That's all you set a screen, roll the rim, get offensive rebounds. That's all you do on offense. That's it. That's
which wrestler was know your role and shut your mouth? Was that is that Stone Cold or was that The Rock? I should know this. I was never a wrestling guy, so. I think, no, that was The Rock. It was know your role and shut your mouth. That's. I feel like that's probably the approach you need to take.
I mean, it really is. Ounce of freedom, and Paul Reed put himself back in jail. He put himself back in the mud.
Yeah, he did.
And I would say this, man. There have been more of these.
Paul Reed a little. Yeah. But
there have been more of these moments. And I'm not sure. I'm not so sure that they're not going to bring in another big at some point in the next. No, it might not be a trade.
But we've talked about this already where it that might need to be addressed. It was more of the Mo Bamba part, but now we're starting to see it from both of them where we started throwing just different names. Of course, the Andre Drummond stuff came up. I think we talked about Kelly Olynyk because we were talking about the Utah Jazz and Lauri Markkanen, a little bit about Jordan Clarkson. And yeah, it's tough. They might have to really address it. Yeah, Joel's going to play 40 minutes in the playoffs, but you're going to also have to get by with maybe 8 to 12 occasionally. And as good as Marcus, as much as they trust Marcus Morris to play those 5 minutes, we also know that's not the option that you want. It's the option that he had tonight because the other two just weren't getting it done enough. And he was on the floor with Batum, so they were trying to figure it out between the two to see if he could at least hold things down and figure it out and see how they can get by those center minutes and hoping that the guys that were scoring were really just going to make a nice run to give them a little bit of a cushion, but it just did not happen.
You know who else needs to figure it out?
Who needs to figure it out?
me pronouncing the word bagels, apparently.
We need some bagels on the table tonight, man.
You don't, though, because you're right. It makes these ad reads memorable.
The people love it, yeah. But listen, I know you guys will love our friends at Bagels & Co., because Bagels & Co. offers huge Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philadelphia. I eat bagels several days a week, and Bagels & Co. offers an average of around 15 to 20 types of bagels. They rotate seasonally. They had a Christmas theme one around the holidays. Don't know what they've got cooking up right now. Maybe something Cupid themed, Valentine's bagel, whatever it might be. They got some theme stuff. And if you're a cream cheese guy or gal, I certainly am, they offer 30 different flavors of cream cheese that rotate throughout the year. It's worth mentioning, they do themed cream cheeses as well. They do them for all the local sports teams, wherever they're in the market. That includes the Sixers, that includes the Eagles. But when you get your hands on that Eagles cream cheese before the Eagles are done for the year, not trying to be Debbie Downer or anything, but just worth thinking about with our watch party coming up, by the way. And just as important as that variety is the affordability at Bagels & Co., because they've kept their prices down while inflation keeps going up, gang, so that you can be an everyday customer, not just someone who comes in for a weekend splurge. They even offer premium coffee at an affordable, superior price to most national brands and chains. So you have no good reason not to go to Bagels & Co. for the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philly. Head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you.
All right. We have a lot of other things to get to here.
Probably
tonight.
A good time to mention that watch party since you referenced it, though. Yeah. 7:45 on Monday at Wicked Wolf. There will be a watch party.
It's a busy day on Monday. Sixers at 1 o'clock.
I was going to say, we can actually go to this because, I don't know, I can't speak for all of us. I will probably go to it.
No, well, let me know. If we're going to do it, we do this.
United
Well,
front,
we just let you know. So there you go.
I just let you know live real time.
See how it yells at me, folks?
This is about how the show prep goes, too. Fuck it. We'll just do it live.
Bill
O'Reilly, fuck it.
So what time is it? What time is the watch party?
7:45.
How you feeling? Feeling about the birds?
I mean, we don't need to.
Not feeling great.
This has been depressing enough. No, man, you gotta, I feel good about the watch party.
Listen, those drinks at Wicked Wolf will make all the pain go away. So,
Like I said, if you have to suffer through watching that defense, I at the very least want to have drinks in hand with friends around.
Team bonding, folks. Team bonding experience. So you might as well get out there at Birds. Tampa.
Illicit Traps is so mad tonight. He's even mad about the ads that we're reading. Come on, man. We gotta keep the lights on somehow, buddy. There's a reason we're here. Come on.
And by the way, there's a lot of light shining on our faces.
Listen, we need it. I need
anyway,
the
7:45, Wicked Wolf, 12th and Chestnut.
Can we also talk about the great gear that we have?
Some new merch drops.
Merch. You see the hoodie that Kyle has on. Of course, these are the originals. Wow. With the mascot, the Nuck there, PHLY. It's a great hoodie, but we also have some cool new hoodies. It's hoodie season. You can see it on the screen. If you're listening, go make sure, PHLYlocker.com. Check it out. You got Birds hoodie. You got the Sixers hoodie. You got the PHLY Sixers podcast hoodie. The same for the Birds. Now with the Mishkov hoodie for the Flyer side of things, we have some great merchandise there. The hats are available. We don't have them on right now, but there they are right there on the screen. The dad hat, the trucker hat, the flat brim, and the golf hat. We own three of those hats right there. Hopefully you can get in there.
There's some more ads for you, Illicit.
That's right.
Put that in your pipe and
smoke it. That's right. And go buy a hat or a hoodie. Go support. Hang out with this, with the cool merchandise. So make sure you go PHLYlocker.com.
Anyway,
let's go. Tyrese Maxey was good tonight.
He was real good. I thought he had a real good floor game too. Like a bunch of real good dump off passes, bounce passes. I thought he had it besides the 30. What did he end up with?
35.
I thought he had like one moment where there was like, he had two turnovers in the span of like 45 seconds. Outside of real good with the ball. Like I said, just a real good floor game, creating shots for others. I really like the way he played.
The only negative that we all talked about was that you could still see something is up with the three-point shooting, where whether it's fatigue, the legs, he's thinking too much about it. He didn't take one three-pointer in the second half, where Tyrese Maxey typically takes the three-pointer off of a catch or a step-back three. But then he redeemed himself with the three-point shooting that he had later in the game. Again, the offensive rebound by Bamba to find him on the wing in overtime. But before that, the big shot over DeJounte Murray, deep one there in that fourth quarter to give them that, what was it, four-point advantage at that point. And the guy, that's the only negative I have for Tyrese Maxey. Other than that, the floor game was phenomenal. His attacking the rim, recognizing who he had on him, defending him, whether it was they were hunting, of course, Trae Young because of his poor defense. But if he had Sadiq Bey, DeJounte Murray, it did not matter. He was going at them. Forrest coming in the game, Bogdanovich, it did not matter. He saw a green light every time those players were in front of him, and he took advantage of it. I thought he was real strong tonight. Good bounce back game.
So I would say here are the two sides of it. I think there was some tunnel vision at the end of the game that I wasn't thrilled with, but at the same time, it's like, that's your best player available tonight. I'd rather him have tunnel vision and take too many shots than like defer. And I have to live with like, is Marcus Morris going to hit a three? And he hit a bunch of threes tonight. So that's no dig at Marcus Morris. I just would rather live with the best player you have, live and die with him. So that's great. On the playmaking front, I said to you during the game, Devon, when it happened, the one turnover he had that he tried to throw a skip pass that Bogdanovich read.
Yeah.
I was honestly happy to see it. Like we talked, Derek and I, before you got here, Devon, about the growth Tyrese has to make as a playmaker.
I like how we have to point out every time
just like
that he
topics
wasn't here.
That we're revisiting. So
we can revisit him. It's good content.
We talked a lot about a lot of times with young guards, it's okay if they're high turnover players early in their career, because what it says is they're trying to make advanced passes and they're making high level reads. They might just be, you know, getting a little too bold with the type of passes that they're making, and they have to learn, all right, where's the line between aggressiveness and, you know, running the offense and playing it safe. And to see Maxey try to throw that skip pass and throw a lot of passes tonight, you know, little dump offs, drop offs, but also wraparound passes, kickouts on his drives where he's sucking in the defense and then he's hitting a guy who's wide the hell open. It shows the maturation process he's already gone through this season with those on ball reps. And I think he ends up with
nine
assists.
Yep.
Probably could have ended up with at least a few more with some better shot making. So totally agree with you that I thought the floor game was awesome. I thought that was a big reason he was able to get by without the outside shot for a lot of that game, hit some threes late that gave them a chance to win. But I loved seeing him figure out a way to keep them in that game and looked like he was going to potentially win that game for them if he hadn't fouled out. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the refs, obviously, in the chat and elsewhere. I will say this, not going to be well-liked for this one. His sixth foul was a foul. It was a soft foul for being his sixth foul in an overtime game, but that's a call that Joel Embiid gets basically every single game.
I thought the fifth foul was more questionable just because he went straight up. They said his leg hit Trae Young. No, Trae Young hit his leg because he was trying to Euro step to avoid him. That was the one that I questioned more than the sixth foul.
I do think on that 6-1, Trae was leaning in a little bit with the shoulder. I think he initiated some of that contact. Now, I don't think Maxey was in perfect position, so you can see that there's a little bit of a question there. But I'd have to go back and rewatch it. It was certainly, when you factor in overtime star-ish level player, I would have liked to see a no call on that one. I understand a gripe, even if by the letter of the book, it might have been a foul.
And if the star is going to get it, the other all-star who has the reputation already is most likely going to get it.
In that moment, like, it didn't, even if
I agree.
Regardless
of
who total agreement.
Let him play.
Regardless of who initiated the contact, I don't think it affected anything. Let him play. Let stars play.
Illicit Trap says, that was not a foul, bro. Which one are you talking about? Because we just laid out both. The sixth or the fifth?
I'm sure it's the six. The six is the one that people are mad.
Okay.
But like, look, that's the one that Joel gets two or three times a game.
Yeah, but if Joel is going up against Anthony Davis, I bet you he doesn't get that call.
I mean, they beat the Lakers by so much that there's no real proof of concept for this season.
Okay, if that was Jokic, I bet you Embiid doesn't get that call with 2 minutes left in overtime.
Which is, like, to me, it's stupid. Like, I am in agreement with you that in that spot especially, don't call it. I would go a step further and say I don't want to see that foul called. I don't think that that's like a – what Tyrese is doing there is sliding his feet and moving with Trey and trying to do the right thing. And for marginal contact like that to be a foul, would it hurt Joel if they didn't call that? Yes. Would it be better to watch? Of course it would. So we're in total agreement there. All I'm saying is if we're bitching about this one – go back and look at the comments when Joel got that call on like Dean Wade in the Cavs game and Cleveland fans had a stroke talking about how it's not a foul. It happens all the time and it gets called a foul often, but probably more often than I would like.
And Alyssa Trapp said he was talking about the sixth, like you mentioned. And Ike says the fifth foul was BS, like we also talked about. Because again, he just went straight up to prevent him from, he was protecting the rim. His leg clipped him. He Euro-stepped to try to get around him to try to get a shot off. Yeah. What do you think? Because we did have, and I was going to go here, but we had a good question from Sam. Says, well, what about the end of regulation when Tyrese spun on DeJounte Murray, I think it was,
and lost the ball off his leg and went out of bounds.
He thought it was a foul. I was about to ask you.
I didn't see contact, and I went back and watched it a couple plays, but we're also – didn't necessarily have a great angle on it, but I didn't see obvious contact. Let me put it that way.
I thought, to your question, I thought Trae Young, actually, when they showed the replay from what I saw, I thought Trae Young got ball.
Okay.
For the first time, in terms of his defense, I thought he got the basketball, and then it went off Tyrese Maxey. My thing was, when he spun, I thought he should have kept the dribble. One more dribble. It's easy for me to say sitting there watching it, especially when the defense closing on him, you know it's the last few seconds, not a lot of time. I think it was, what, like a second left after the ball went out of bounds? So I understand what he was doing, but it was just one of those things of if he could have kept it one more dribble, he probably would have gotten a better opportunity to get a shot off, maybe even get fouled and get to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Okay, so should we make our official pitch for the Sixers to trade for DeJounte Murray after that game?
Folks, this was the one I was waiting for because it was fun to watch the game. I always watch it with these guys, whether it's a home game, road game, and Kyle's sitting there. We're looking at each other. He makes like 2 threes, I think it was, and we're just like, all right, you know, whatever, because he wasn't playing all that well offensively to that point.
He had smoked a couple layups that he should have made.
But then he hits one where he hits a corner three, he gets fouled.
And guess who fouled him, by the way?
Yeah, Kelly Oubre.
Correct. Just to enhance the points we've been making.
And he also hit, the big point was the catch and shoot threes that we talk about. And I saw people already in the chat speaking about Maxey and Murray would be a nice backcourt, et cetera. So, Kyle, you were talking about maybe buying some real estate there on the island. So, well, let's start with you, man, because he did, for what we talk about offensively as a secondary scorer, especially with Trae Young struggling, he did play well tonight, especially on the catch and shoot threes.
Well, look, like that game is an example of, at least offensively,
that's a high-end outcome for
him. That is an example of, like, if you want Murray, you just point to that game and say, that's the proof of concept. Well, it's not an average game for DeJounte Murray.
I'm saying that
5 of 7 from three tonight.
That's the third most threes he's made all season. He's only had 7 games with more than 3 made threes. My point is, this is an outlier game.
Yeah, but it's an outlier, but you're also not asking them to make the five. You're probably asking them to make three.
I mean, I'd love for them to make five.
If you're looking at them, well, that would be great. Yeah, you'd probably be.
I'd love to have a guy who takes seven threes playing next to Tyrese.
And more than often, he's probably going to make two, three out of those seven. He's probably going to do that.
Sure. All right. If you completely buy the shot this year, then yes.
Okay.
But so some of it is about DeJounte, right? Like,
yes.
You see the catch and shoot. You see him able to take guys off the dribble, get his own shot. Now, there were some real struggles in the fourth quarter and overtime. We don't have to talk about some of the runner attempts that either barely hit the rim or missed everything. Certainly had some ugly moments. But there's enough secondary creation, or at times primary creation, that he was able to keep the offense moving along. He's able to, when he hits shots like this, he can play next to anybody, obviously. But to me, the more important thing is the thing that we keep hammering. It's that you put Tyrese in a position where not all his threes are pull-up threes, are step-back threes, are sidestep threes, that you can get him in that catch-and-shoot role more often.
And
you're not saying that you need to trade for a Murray-level player or above for that to happen. I just think that you can see some of the justification for why you'd hunt for a real creator rather than a couple of role players, where Tyrese is still the clear cut number two at all times, no deferring, no, none of that. I just would like to see a trade, perhaps multiple trades, where there's at least the option to use Tyrese in a different way and to get him going a little bit so that he's not so reliant on driving into the trees and drawing free throws and doing all that, which I love seeing him do. But if the three-point shot's not there because he's taking these crazy difficult shots, there's got to be a way that they can use him to manufacture points.
We are all in agreement that they need another creator to help Tyrese out. I'm not sold that DeJounte is that creator. And look, he was really good tonight from beyond. He's been really good this season from three. He was a 33% three-point shooter on nearly 1,100 attempts before this season. The 200 or so that he's taken this season. I have some point between now and deadline, I will go back and I will watch every three he's attempted this year and see if I can convince myself that this is more than just an unseasonably hot shooting stretch, unreasonably hot half season, because that happens pretty often in this league. Mm-hmm. I need to buy that this is the new DeJounte Murray to be a fit next to Tyrese Maxey. I am in full agreement that they need another shot creator. Whether that is a wing that you can put in pick and rolls or a guard that can, you know, run some offense. Yes, I agree they need that. I need a little more evidence than tonight to buy DeJounte.
Oh, come on. One game's enough.
I mean, look, honestly, like if I bought that he was a 38% three-point shooter right now and that you could actually run him off ball, then yes, I would like that archetype of player I'm fine with. I just need to be able to buy into that shot.
And I think that, of course, this one's an outlier tonight with the outside shooting and all, because he still blew a few layups where it's like, come on, man.
Well, you know. And that's also part of the problem, too. If that outside shot isn't there, then he's very reliant on that pull-up mid-range jumper. Then he's very reliant on floaters at the basket. And that's not an archetype that I want to put next to Tyrese. So I have to buy not only a catch-and-shoot three, but an off-dribble three from DeJounte.
Watching him enough, what we've seen him over the years, for me, when I watch his pull-up jump shot right around 15, 17, it never seems clean where he's just going up and shooting it. It always looks like he's shooting it with a little double pump to shoot it, because he's not a natural shooter to that point, from that spot where that could get in the way.
Well, he's not a natural shooter, I'd say.
No.
Generally. No. Like, the fact that he is even as good as he is a testament to the improvements he made. Because that was the reason he fell like he did in the draft. Because everyone was like, look, this guy's a great athlete, good defensive player, playmaker, all that. But everyone was like, guy can't shoot worth a damn. And we don't believe it can be fixed. So to get to this point is a testament to he has put in a lot of work. But this point is still, to Derek's point, is still only at a certain threshold where you don't really trust him as much as you would like to, especially if you're going to move real draft capital, real stuff to get him, and then pay him, you know, $25+ million for the next few seasons.
Yeah, no, look, and a lot of this comes down to, like, it's not like, would Murray make the Sixers better? Yeah, he would.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
You'd put him in as a number of slots and he would improve the team. Mm-hmm. It's just, is he worth all the other, is the opportunity cost of what he would take in terms of draft capital, in terms of salary, the one you want to go all in for. And like I said, I need to buy that shot in a big way.
But the other guy who, as we were talking about him, the other one that was doing his work that we talk about as a trade possibility also was Bogdanovich, doing the Bogdanovich stuff that we've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks, where he came off the bench. He was 7-for-16. Didn't look like he had bad shots, though, especially the
ones
that he made.
He was 1-for-8 from three, too. So, like, everywhere else, he was on fire.
We know he only made one, but it didn't leave that impact, right? It just seemed like he had a much better shooting performance, but that's why you talk about
Bogdanovich. But to your point, it's like he's 1-for-8 from three, and that means he went 6-for-8 everywhere else. So, you saw the off-ball utility, right? Like, he back-cut guys a couple times. He hit some tough mid-range shots. And that's why we have all preached, like, he'd be a good addition, because the offensive versatility is there. And when the outside shot isn't there, he's still able to get to, you know, a respectable night there. I even thought you saw some, like, some playmaking stuff from him. Some, like, nice lobbed passes into Okongwu, some nice pocket passes. Like, he's a very good, very versatile offensive player, and I think he'd make a ton of sense here.
And that one made me, in watching the game tonight, want him more, because I'm still of the belief that they probably won't get that bigger name.
Yeah.
Bogdanovich is a big name because of how long he's been in the league, the production offensively of who he is, and what he has done from Sacramento to Atlanta, and we'll see what happens by the trade deadline. But watching that again just kind of lays out why you guys talked about it first. I'm jumping on the back end of it, of that makes sense if they are able to, if they decide, if Landry Fields, who is the general manager now of that team, if he decides that they are going to start.
Makes you feel old, man.
If they're going to make some moves and he is one of them, that would be a target that I think, of course, would definitely help because of the versatility from his frame to the outside shooting, the playmaking, playing with someone like Joel Embiid there, where it's not Capella, where you have to set him up every time. Okongwu has gotten much better offensively, but you still have to set him up. If it's not an offensive rebound, you still have to do things for him. A lot of when we talk about these players coming in, for me, we always speak about playing with Maxey and Embiid. I focus on the fact that they're going to be playing with him, and many of these players have not played with that guy, because they're not, that's why he's so special, because they're not a lot of him, Joel Embiid, I'm speaking of, in this league. And you look at what he brings, Bogdanovich playing in an offense, obviously with Maxey and whomever else will be there, but Joel Embiid specifically, the space that he's going to have, is it would be amazing. So that just, this game tonight, as good as Murray was, it's still the Bogdanovich piece where that seems more likely and one that would fit just as good.
Yeah, and Spencer in the chat basically saying, like, what would the opportunity cost actually be, noting that free agency looks weak, especially now with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George probably being off the board. Well, if you've been listening, like, we think free agency is sort of like a last resort. That being said, like, there is a very active trade period at the draft, and because at that point the Sixers would have essentially up to 5 first-round picks that they could trade, and cap space they can absorb salary into in a trade. Cap space isn't just useful as a way to sign players, but as a way to facilitate trades as well. When you have cap space and 5 picks to trade, there is an opportunity to make deals. Now, what could that mean? That's what's going to make this very, very tough. If you sit here at the deadline, you go, all right, there's someone like DeJounte Murray or somebody like Bogdanovich, they can help us make the stretch run. Now, they're not necessarily either a good enough player or a good enough fit to be like the obvious, yes, let's go in for this guy kind of player. Do you want to bank on somebody else becoming available in a trade in June or July? It's a very tough decision to make because there is a lot of uncertainty. You can't look there and say, oh, we're going to go target Kawhi or we're going to target Paul George. There's probably not going to be someone like that available. Probably not going to be able to target OG now because he was traded to New York and his agent's father runs the team. There's a lot of uncertainty. And that's going to be that is why Daryl gets paid the big bucks, because he is not just projecting, like, I can look at a free agency list and go pick and choose my guy. He has to sort of like predict who will become disgruntled, who will become available, which team will underperform, which star that we're not even talking about now could become available in June or July, and make that calculus in his head. He is in a guy who has a MVP, another all-star, 3 to 5 draft picks to trade, depending on when they make that deal. and cap space. He has a lot of flexibility, but he also has a lot of responsibility and a lot of uncertainty to deal with.
And our guy Furious with the super chat is really on the Murray train. Says Murray averaged 9 assists in San Antonio. He can definitely play make. I'd rather have a willing 3-point shooter than Toby. He won't even shoot. Well, the willingness, we're all in agreement on that. Like, we harp on that all the damn time. I do think, like, as much as I'm saying, this is the game, go get Murray, all that, like, Derek's points are fair. Like, do you want to move? I'd say if I had to guess, if Atlanta moves him, and it looks like they're going to, it's going to require 2 firsts. Is that fair? Probably 2.
Yeah, one of them might be, like, protected, where it might be uncertainty on when or how it will convey, but yeah, probably like 1 legitimate first and 1 protected first.
Yeah, so let's say you move 2 first,
and the key is if one of those is that unprotected Clippers pick, then that really limits what else you can do.
Yeah, so then you could be down to either 1 pick to move, 1 real pick to move, or potentially 0, depending on how that trade plays out. And if you make that move, you have to be super, super confident Murray is the guy. He is the third piece that is going to take Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey from, you know, that's a very good team, but probably is on the outside looking in on the real contender list right now, to that contender list. And I don't think anybody would sit here, including Murray fans in the chat, and be like, yeah, that's absolutely, like, no doubt the move. And I understand we sit here all the time and say, well, this guy's got flaws. And it seems like we just say, well, they can't trade for anyone. No, that's not true. I think our big thing is just, like, there is risk. Every door you open that is available to them right now comes with pretty considerable risk. It's because they made a lot of poor decisions over the years, long before Daryl Morey arrived, that boxed them into where they are right now. But it makes this next month leading into the deadline, and certainly the 6 months or so before free agency in July, a really fascinating time period for this team.
And really, I mean, Kyle and I are sitting here poo-pooing all the potential trade targets because we're just sitting here trying to get Devon to talk his cousin into Jock Vaughn being an idiot so then we can get the guy that we actually want.
Are you guys going to sit and watch the second half with me tomorrow after we're done? They've got a 1 o'clock game tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Paris game.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
man.
Paris game. So by the time we're done,
we will probably be here.
Well, I might be pulling a Devon and not showing up tomorrow because we already talked about this before the show. But we'll see. It'll be like a big surprise reveal. Yeah.
But no, to the point of what they may or may not do by the deadline and the Murray availability, a couple of things that happened even today impacts the offseason already, because whether you felt like Paul George or Kawhi Leonard were going to be on their radar or having the opportunity to get them, Kawhi Leonard signs an extension with the Clippers today. There were already reports that Paul George and his people are in conversation with the front office to also do the very same. Seeing a report from Pascal Siakam where he wants Supermax. Well, not Supermax, but he wants big money.
He could potentially get a Supermax from Toronto, but he's got to make all NBA this year.
Right.
And then he's locked in Toronto as well.
So to what the guys are laying out.
And again, that would be only Toronto that can offer that. It can't even be a sign and trade. It has to be Toronto.
The summer with all these big names, there's potentially 2 right there that will be off the board before we even get there.
Yeah, the Kawhi thing came kind of out of nowhere, right? That was a
3 years, I think he got.
Three years or 152, something like that. Might be misremembering the exact details.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think any of us really thought they were a high probability to leave LA. Like, they weren't at the top of my, I'm not going to say priority list, but they weren't at the top of my mind because I just assumed they were going to stay there. But, you know, weird shit can happen. You were kind of hoping some weird shit would happen in LA. They've been playing good basketball, and I guess it's enough to keep them around.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about DeJounte Murray. See what happens. Bogdanovich and funny.
DeJounte Island. I'm a resident for at least
Kyle's
right now.
There.
I'm renting an apartment on DeJounte Island.
No flag? Just the apartment?
Just renting.
Just renting. We'll see.
All right.
I might be talked out of it by
a buddy of mine was a more
serious friend, you know.
a buddy of mine was his and Ben Simmons' trainer. If you remember, they trained because they were both clutch.
Yeah.
My buddy JC worked both of them out, of course. And at that time, he was like, the Sixers need to draft both. He wanted both of his guys. And look, they had this because the 24 was 24 and 25 or 25 and 26 that they picked.
That was a Furkan.
Korkmaz and
Cabarrot. Yeah, 24-26.
24 and 26. And they had an opportunity to
I loved TLC, but I may have been swayed because of those jerseys that Mega Lex wore.
Oh, the pink and green.
Those were absolutely incredible, and it might have distracted me from how little basketball skill he had.
Yeah, man. Well, we'll see.
By the way, we've had a lot of chatter about the Jazz beating up on Denver tonight on national TV.
Oh, did they?
They struggled a little bit.
It's ongoing, but
yeah.
Friend of the pod, Markkanen, probably, I don't know what the stat line is right now, but. No, he's only 2 for 5.
Wow.
Is Clarkson? Trade value's down. Go get him, Daryl.
What's Clarkson doing? What is he doing? I need to know.
He's 7 for 9.
There you go. Kyle renting an apartment on the Clarkson Island.
No, come on,
man.
Jordan Clarkson is not playable in the playoffs. You can't defend my grandmother. Rest her soul, but yeah. I am not going to be renting any property on Jordan Clarkson Island.
I don't know, like someone like Tyus Jones can defend the playoffs either, but he'd cost you way, way, way less.
And is not going to be on the payroll next year either, which is a important thing. All right, fellas,
it's about that time.
About that time. It's 11:30. My computer's about to die right
Seven
now.
Points,
I gotta get
man.
To a charger. Kelly Olynyk,
there you go. Back up.
Are you on Olynyk Island? I don't know. Maybe I should stop saying island with all the Epstein stuff.
I rented a room.
I think we can still talk about islands. I don't think that guy ruined islands forever.
Listen, there's between Aaron Rodgers,
we're good.
No island, probation on islands. All right,
no more islands. We just rent some space. in these places of where we want these.
Everybody, thank you so much.
And he also had places in like Florida too. Can we not talk about Florida? I mean,
I'd prefer not to generally, but you know. As I say all the time, everybody.
Who do we have?
Thank you so much for being here. Love you guys being here at 11:35 on a Wednesday evening. That's amazing. My guys and gals, Dan McGlade, Brian Knight, Weebay, Bootzilla, Kane, Furious, 2 Minute Warning. Al,
what up, Al?
Our guy, no APB this episode because we know he's with us. SB Cole, Monty Marr, Hypothetical Man, Illicit Traps, R. Smith. There was a guy earlier. I wish
what
I could
up,
get
R.
those
Smith?
Names too far. DeCleva, Spencer, Furious again. I'll give you a second shout out, Furious, because give us a super chat. Coleman Potts, our guy. Carlton Hudson.
Pots and Pans.
Pots and Pans. There was somebody toward the beginning of the stream that had, I don't think I'm going to repeat his name. We had Chris Telsma, Jake M., Liam Stevens, Misremembered72. Illicit Traps again, because he's been all up in the chat tonight. Thank you guys so much for being with us here. As I always tell you, please, if you haven't, hit that subscribe button. And if you hit the bell icon,
ding,
love the ding from Devon, you will get notifications each and every single time that we go live. And if you hit the thumbs up button on this video, it'll give me a nice warm and fuzzy feeling inside. Warmer and fuzzier than this hoodie gives me. And this hoodie gives me some great warm and fuzzy feelings.
That's at PHLY.com if you like that hoodie.
PHLY Locker. Get it right, sir.
PHLYLocker.com. Don't even say it.
There's two websites. There's all PHLY.com and there's PHLYLocker.com.
PHLY.com
does not exist, Devon.
Oh, my God.
My bad, Derek. I'm sorry. It's 11:37, man.
All right, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. Have a good rest of your night.
2:30 tomorrow. We'll catch up.
All silly like the mayor.